You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's kind of cold out there, but we're still doing it. We can make it through the snow. Good morning, everyone on the live stream as well. I'm glad you could join us this morning. My name's Natalie. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. It's always great to start our week worshiping together, coming together and lifting our voices. I love that. I could sing that song over and over again. Holy, holy, holy. It's so good. Well, I am wrapping up the January series titled Hijacked, where we've been looking at words that have deep meaning and value in our faith, but have been hijacked by the world around us. We've looked at the words Christian, we looked at evangelical, and last week, the word justice. If you weren't here for those, I want to encourage you to check those out online. It's important for us to grow in wisdom and to understand God's heart behind these words found in the scriptures. Well, as we close this series, the word for this week is something that we all deal with. We've all had different experiences of, and some of us like it a lot more than others. Our word for this morning is work. Work has been hijacked. You can pick up on it in the way that it's been skewed through the language and phrases that people tie to work. Phrases like, I'm working for the weekend. Or I'll work hard so that I can play hard. Or I can't wait to finish college and get to the things that I really want to do. Or I can't wait to get promoted out of this entry-level position into my career. Or I hate work and I can't wait to retire. Maybe you've said things like, well, when I retire, I'm finally going to be able to do the things that God has for me. And then you retire and it turns out you still have work to do. We tend to think that work kind of keeps us from participating in God's mission. We can compartmentalize work away from spirituality. But the simple truth is that work will follow us. It's going to follow us until the day that we die, and we all have things to accomplish and projects to finish. In a lot of ways, our world rejects the idea that work is a good thing. We think work gets in the way of our lives and sometimes even our callings. The world has hijacked our idea of work. And this is a really big deal. This is a big deal because the amount of time that we spend working in our lifetime is huge. We spend about a third of our life working. And this doesn't even include all the mundane tasks that we have. It doesn't include laundry and cooking and dishes, going to appointments, waiting at the DMV, cleaning toilets, right? It doesn't include that type of work. And the students in the room, you aren't off the hook either. You have to do work as well. You have classes to attend, homework to do, extracurriculars that sometimes feel more like work than fun. And if you're retired, work doesn't stop. There's still housework, there's grandkids to take care of, there's doctor's appointments, volunteer options that sometimes have this strange feeling of work. The work never actually ends, it just kind of moves from one place to another. We all have work, and the world has hijacked this word into being such a bummer. But what does the Bible say? Can you imagine what it would look like if we could work for the glory of the Lord and work for an audience of one? Look at Colossians 3:17. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Imagine living like Colossians 3. I try to live this out every day as a life verse, and some days are so much better than others. But God keeps highlighting this verse for me. I keep coming back to the promise that that with everything that I do, I can learn to do it for the Lord. While I was in college, I had an early experience of what this could look like. I got a summer job working at 3M. It's excellent pay and consistent hours. So I was like, this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to this. But it did not take long for me to realize that this was not my dream job. And it started with the uniform. It was really unfortunate. it was not my style. I had to wear all denim, like all denim, not nice denim for me. Like I like denim. I had nice jeans on. I like denim. I had to wear their denim uniform. I had to wear steel-toed boots. I got fitted for those on my very first day on the job. I had to wear safety glasses. I couldn't curl my hair. I had to pull my hair back, put on the glasses, and head into work. Now I look like a pastor, but I was a factory worker. That's what I did. It was Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'd throw on my denim. I'd put on the oversized boots, and I'd head into the job. It was great. Just me and my denim in a very important job. Oh, my goodness. And to add to this experience, the 3M factory, it was huge. And I basically worked all alone in my position in the water treatment plant. I was just kind of by myself in that part of the plant. Well, my job, I was in charge of the sludge machine. I sat in this little glass office next to this machine. It was a huge machine, and no one else was in the building. Again, just me. Just me in my very important job. If the machine were to ever get clogged, it was up to me to push that little red button to stop the process and, like, save the day. If a clog happened and it kept moving, the pressure would build up so big that the entire water treatment facility in the factory would, like, explode or something. It would have probably contaminated water for a lot of people. But here's the kicker. I literally never had to push that button. I worked there the entire summer. This was my job. I sat in this little glass room from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, making sure the system didn't get clogged. I did not know that this was actually a job. I didn't know it existed. And I was so annoyed. My summer would be spent completely alone in this silence of this factory, wearing this uniform and doing nothing. I know that might sound like a dream job for some of you. You're like, that sounds amazing. But I was so bored. I was so bored. And this is where Colossians 3 comes in. This was a verse that I had on my wall in my bedroom. I had it on post-it notes in my dorm room. And I got a firsthand experience of how to do this job for the glory of God. Now, when I started getting paid, that was really great too, because it was literally the best paying job I'd ever had. No exaggeration there. It was amazing. But I also realized that by taking this position, I was allowing other highly skilled workers the ability to kind of step away and do the work that only they could do. I also had so much time to pray and read and study scripture every day. I got to pop in earbuds and listen to talks and listen to worship. I know I was singing. I'm sure I sang out loud in that room by myself. It's great. I had so much time to do all this stuff. But what started with annoyance, it turned into gratitude. And by the end of the summer, I learned to love one of the most boring jobs. I learned to do everything like I was doing it for God and to do it with a thankful heart. It ended up being a gift to my heart and my discipleship with the Lord. It's such a gift. We spend most of our life working. And even if we're retired or not currently employed, our life is still surrounded by work. With so much time dedicated to work, as Christians, we want to know what the Bible says. How can this word be redeemed through a biblical worldview? I shared Colossians 3 earlier, but the main scripture for today is found in Philippians 2. I'm going to read starting in verse 12. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. This passage, it can be applied to so many different areas of our life, but when it comes to redeeming work in a biblical way, I love verse 12. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. This doesn't mean just when you're at the office. It means your entire life and how you work in the day-to-day, but it's still perfect for our conversation today. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. And it's not work to get your salvation, because salvation is a free gift from God when Jesus died on the cross to make all things right. But the way we work can reflect the gift of salvation that we've all received. Salvation means saved and being saved. It means to be rescued by God and totally redeemed. It means saved from your sin, but also saved from trouble, bondage, addiction, saved from pain and heartache. Have you experienced this kind of salvation? And are you still experiencing this salvation like this today? It starts by surrendering your life to Jesus. And if you've never made a decision like that, I'd love to help you do that later in our service. But for all of us, it says we can work in a way that reflects this free gift of salvation, even if you're not getting paid. Even if you're a student and your work is showing up to class and doing homework, it's just as true for a stay-at-home parent like I was for 5 years, or if you're retired, we can all work in a way that reflects the salvation that we've found. Now, for many, work and salvation, they don't go together because we don't all like our work. But Paul, he was convinced that work can demonstrate how we've been saved by Jesus. It's a reflection of all God has done for us. He's rescued us. He's given us a new life. He's given us purpose. He's given us a new spiritual family to be a part of. So looking at our text for this morning, let's talk about how this all fits together, how our work can be a demonstration of our salvation. It all starts with the truth that God is working in and through you. God gives you what you need. He empowers you to work in a way that demonstrates your salvation. Look at verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We have to learn and train and practice and develop the ability to walk with God in the midst of work. If we can't stay connected to him at work, it will be really hard to demonstrate our salvation at work, because then you'll be operating out of your own strength and your own attitude instead of his power and the attitude of Christ. If you're reading Practicing the Way right now for Holy Hustle, you've probably read about abiding in the vine, abiding in Jesus, because apart from him, you can do nothing. This is really the only way that it's going to work. If you can learn to work with the Lord, this will change your life and the lives of those around you. And not only that, but your salvation will become noticeable to those around you as well. I'm so grateful that while I was working at 3M, I had scriptures to remind me to have a thankful heart. I needed to be reminded of this. If I showed at home grumbling and annoyed, my salvation would not have been on display for my family. I mean, if I showed up at my lunch break grumbling and sitting off by myself rather than engaging with others and getting to know them, they wouldn't have seen any part of my salvation. If you rely on your own strength, you probably already know, you'll eventually run dry. But if you learn to embrace verse 13, trusting that God is moving in you and through you, you'll be able to walk and work with Christ in a more complete way. If we keep reading the scripture, another way to demonstrate your salvation through work is that work can be done without complaining. When you've done the 9th load of laundry for the day, or you've changed the 20th diaper, or you haven't pushed that little red button in over 8 weeks, right? This can seem hard. But look at verse 14. God wouldn't call us to it if it wasn't possible in and through him. Verse 14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Nothing darkens the light of Christ like nonstop complaining. When you complain, it's so easy to lose sight of the Lord in your work, and nobody else will want to be around you, except maybe the complainers. But somehow, in some way, we read about this invitation to do everything without complaining and arguing. And of course, some of you are in a really tough spot, and your job is actually awful. If that's you, I will say there's a difference between processing pain and complaining. The trick is to be surrounded with a few key people in your life, from like a small group or something like that, where you can process and get those feelings out, right? A place where nobody is telling you to stuff your feelings and ignore your faith or ignore your pain, but they're also encouraging you to follow God in everything that you do and offering prayer as well so that you can process and you don't move into like nonstop complaining. The overarching truth is that when it comes to work, we've normalized complaining and not rejoicing. Again, I'm not just talking about your day job, but all the tasks at hand. Complaining about work is one of the most common ways that I hear people talk about their lives. But as Christians, we're called to live and work differently. We're called to work without complaining. And don't just think about your coworker who annoys you. This message isn't for someone else, it's for you. Okay, if you are complaining in your head right now about a complaining coworker, that should be a sign for you. And what's crazy is that Paul wrote this whole scripture about not complaining, but rejoicing in the Lord while he sat in a prison cell. He was just arrested for his faith and preaching, and while he was sitting in a jail cell, he wrote about not complaining. The only way this works is because he viewed all of life through the power of the cross. The cross reminds us that we could have died in our sin, but Jesus took our place. The cross reminds us that without Jesus, we are left to rescue ourselves, which really never works. But because of Jesus, we have been rescued, and we can keep being rescued every day. If you have found salvation in Jesus Christ, demonstrate it to the world around you by thanking God more and complaining less. Now, all of this works together towards our last point for today. Work is part of your testimony. Let's continue on in the scripture passage. Always go back to the Bible. I'm going to read verse 14 again and then continue into verse 15. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. It's hard to bring the good news if you always bring the bad news. When it comes to work, the question is not, will I leave a testimony? The question is, what kind of testimony will I leave? One way or another, your life is going to tell a story. Is it one that reflects the kingdom of God or some other kind of kingdom? Does your life and work reflect the good news or some other kind of lesser news? I don't need to spend a lot of time here because Jeff talked about evangelism a few weeks ago, but this is a big deal. It's a big deal because God put you where he put you to shine brightly and to offer hope. Paul knew that it would be nearly impossible for you to shine brightly for Christ if all you ever do is complain. Paul knew that if you're rude to your coworker for like 3 years and then you finally get the courage to invite them to come to church, they're going to say no because you've been disrespectful for 3 years. If people can't see the fruit of Jesus in your life, it's time to ask yourself why. Maybe you've gotten caught up in the world's definition of work, and you wake up frustrated on Monday. It's time to surround yourself with people who love Monday. My hope for us as a church is that when we gather on Sunday, that our faith and our expectation for God to meet us wouldn't stop here. My hope is that we are filled with great expectation for our Mondays and our Tuesdays and our Wednesdays, that we could carry this into our week. Work is a part of your testimony, and we have an invitation to shine a light and demonstrate our salvation to the world around us. We can rejoice in the work at hand, and we don't have to complain anymore by the power of Jesus. If this passage becomes a part of who you are and how you live, you will pour your life out like a drink offering and rejoice while doing it. It will change your life and the lives of those around you. Look at how this scripture closes, verses 17 and 18. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Your work matters, no matter how mundane it is. On the off chance that I wasn't there to push that little button, the sludge machine broke, the whole city's water would have been contaminated. It's wild. When I was a stay-at-home mom, I cherished the days that I could spend extra time with our kids, helping them grow and develop, even if it meant I changed 10 times the amount of diapers as Jeff. It's true.
Shots fired.
But I didn't mind it at all, right? Like, that's the beauty of it. It's amazing. And this might not surprise you, but even though I love my job and I love pastoring, there are still parts that are mundane that I don't really like to do that much. We all have things, right, that we do not like to do. As you start to see Jesus in your work, my hope is that the scripture can be a guiding passage for your life, your job, and everyday reality. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, may we all have the same ability to be thankful and rejoice in all things. At times he was a preacher, he was a miracle worker, he was a church planter, and in other moments he was a tent maker, and he spent most of his life studying, and he finished in jail. Whatever it was, Paul found his purpose in the Lord above any job or task at hand, and he lived a life representing God in all things. He clearly understood the power of the cross in his life, and this had a ripple effect in his ministry to share the gospel and to shine the light of Christ to the world around him, even in prison. Spend your life abiding in Jesus and receive all that you can from him so that your life can be poured out as a drink offering, working to demonstrate your salvation that you found in Christ. Because of his sacrifice, we can turn all of our complaints into rejoicing. Let's pray.